Amen and amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Couple quick announcements for us. Some of our ones that you all know. Of course, our first Saturday is coming up, and we are resuming men's breakfast for this month. So all of you men, this first Saturday is coming up. Meet us in the Red Room for some great breakfast. We listen to a word, and we have a great time hanging out. And we're finished in 1 hour. You will not have to stay 1 minute after unless you want to. We are prompt. But that's going to be this Saturday at 8 a.m. in the Red Room. We also have a couple different things going on. You know, one of the great things we have is, and I know this doesn't necessarily apply to you because you all pray for your city every day, right? Yes, amen. But we're joining with some churches and we're praying with purpose and we're uniting, you know, as the church of Christ, as the body of Christ. And so our church is assigned to pray for our city, to have a special heart for it for the week of August the 2nd. So if you would like to sign up and then just let people know that you're praying, you can take care of all that on the QR code there. And we have a really big QR code now right here. So it should be much easier to get. But if you would like to be a part of that, more specifically for this cause we're doing, please scan that QR code and you'll be able to get all that taken care of. We also have a special service coming up this upcoming Tuesday, which is going to be July the 28th, and it's going to be at 6:30 p.m. We have a guest minister, Christopher Alum. He has a really powerful testimony of coming from the Muslim faith and how he came to know Christ, and I will leave the rest for him to let you know how that happened. A little cliffhanger, you could say. But I've heard he has an incredible testimony. I'm excited to hear it. So we hope you join us this Tuesday for that, 6:30 p.m. Another great thing that we do every year and is coming up in just a few weeks is Stockton Ports Faith Night. So we are going back again. We're going to start the ticket sales next week, and they're going to be $10 for the VIP section, you know, that real nice and shaded spot where the breeze hits just right. You know what I'm talking about. That is going to be August the 14th, which is a Friday, and the game starts at 7 o'clock. So if you'd like to go, please come ready to get your tickets next week. They're going to be $10. The only thing with the tickets is they just give us all the tickets, and it's not an entire section that we have. So if you want to sit by somebody, make sure you buy tickets in line with that person because we'll give you the ticket, and then unfortunately, it's out of our control, and we don't want to kick no strangers out of their spots. So we'll give you the ticket, and that will be your seat. And then everything will be perfect, and there'll be no issues. Amen. That's going to be it for the announcements. Junior high, hang tight. We're going to leave in just a minute, but Pastor's going to come and do some very special things first.
Amen. Well, before we do that, I just want to get one more thing about Christopher Alum. Just so you know, Christopher actually called me last week and said, hey, I'm going to Asia. I want to stop off. Can you receive me? So I said, I guess. What do you want to come? He said, I can come Tuesday. I said, well, then we'll have Tuesday. For those of you who don't know who Christopher Alum is, he has a worldwide ministry. He's been ministering in Africa for many, many years in Asia. I had the privilege of going to Burma with him. I had the privilege of being in Africa with him at Crusades. There's miracles, signs, and wonders. And, you know, that's how he has just seen God do some supernatural things. Also, we have a really great story where we got rear-ended on the San Mateo Bridge. We were sitting parked on the highway, and a car hit us going 70 miles an hour and destroyed my truck and actually folded it in half and everything. We walked away from there, and God's amazing grace. And so I've known Christopher for probably 40 years, and God's hand is upon him. And, you know, he's just, he's an interesting fellow. You're going to love doing it, but God uses him mightily. He leads people to Jesus, and he is from Pakistan and in India. You know, he has a Pakistan father and an Indian mother, and he's got an amazing testimony. He really does. His dad ordered his execution, put him in prison, and if he hadn't broken out of prison and escaped out of there and ended up in Sweden, he'd be dead. But God's had his hand upon him, and so and he's been ministering and seen millions of people born into the kingdom of God. So, hallelujah. So that's what happened. That's what transpired. People said, well, how come we're having it on Tuesday? Because he's flying in on Monday. He's going to fly out on Wednesday. All right, and you got to pray because we're actually going to San Francisco is where he's got to fly out of because he's going things the same way we went, you know, the last time he was here. So I'm going to believe God, we're going to be okay. Amen. No PTSD or no anything like that. Amen. Hallelujah. And then also this coming Friday night, for all of you young adults that are 18 to 30, we're going to be having a meeting, just a, really a fellowship time, starting at 6:30 this coming Friday night at the Red Room down here. So we want you to come to that. And then also, there's a lot of bills that are going on, and so we've got some flyers out there in the foyer right on the table that's to the left, just about things that are happening and that we can actually pray about. You know, we're praying for Stockton coming up here, but we also need to continue to pray. How many know the world's still crazy? The world is still crazy. They're still going to try to do, I don't know who comes up with the things they come up with, but bless their hearts. Amen. So God is good. Hey, but also this is a very special Sunday too, because it's actually our graduation Sunday for our kids, and it's really especially blessed for those that are graduating high school. Amen. So we've got two graduating seniors that are graduating, that have graduated. And then we also have two young ladies that are going from the fifth grade to the sixth grade. So they get to go into junior high. So they've been waiting on this for a long time. So Cameron's going to come and share and talk about that with everybody. So come on, Cameron. And for those of you who don't know, Cameron's our youth minister, and his wife, Samantha, does our children along with Sean there. And so where's your microphone at? Oh, look at you. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, let's invite Taylor Hine and Trenton Winchester up. I know we have other things going on, and I know Pastor wants to preach this morning, so I will be as brief as I can. But these are two very special graduates we have here. So let me start with Trenton. You sixth graders who are going into junior high, you are going into junior high class in the sixth grade because of Trenton. Because Trenton was in the sixth grade and he had a full beard and mustache. And he was about 5'11". So we decided, I think we should move it down because it looks like there's a grown man in our children's class and he is not a volunteer. He is a kid. I remember when we went to summer camp, he was cleaning one of the tables, and I was sitting there, and he's like, I don't know what kind of system you guys got, but you got your youth pastor cleaning tables, pointing at Trenton. Then he points at me, and he's, you got your youth kids just hanging out. I earned the right. So this is a special graduation. Trenton's been here with us since he was in sixth grade, and Taylor has too. Taylor is my sister, so it's really special too, and there was no one more excited to ever come into youth group that I can remember than Taylor. Obviously because she was a little girl, and my wife and I were doing youth here, so she always wanted to come in, and she never could. But she finally got in, and she's been with us for, 6 years in our youth program. These are people who have been here, you know, under our youth program, and they love the Lord, and, you know, there's nothing more of a greater goal than we have than for young people to love the Lord. Everything else will unfold the way it needs to as long as they love the Lord. So I want to give these to you guys. Hey, Trent, and these are for you. And those are two books in there, which you can keep in there. Samantha and I picked those out specifically for you guys. And just we prayed and thought that those would be apt for you, but you take a look at them at your own time. Let me pray for you guys real quick. Father, I thank you for these incredible young people right here who have graduated high school, going into the next journey of their lives. And Father, I just thank you that you have a great plan for them. God, this is not the end. This is only the beginning. So Father, I pray for these two young people right here that you would just continue to pour into them. God, that you would send good friends, good mentors, pastors into their life, God, to help guide them and direct them for the steps that you have ordered, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would use us as a church body God, to just nurture the relationship that they have with the Lord. You would use all of us to help guide them along the way. And I thank you, Lord, that the plans you have for them are just incredible. And I pray, God, that you would help them to be obedient to what you have called them to do. And I pray for your hand to be upon them for blessing and for favor in everything they do. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And then Sean will come up and our next set of folks here.
Thank you, Kevin. You're going to make me. All right, so everybody, my name is Sean. I'm the director of the elementary school. If you know me, you know I don't like the spotlight being on me, even though that I was just playing bass right over there. So I'm going to keep this short, but we have two amazing young ladies here that are going to be going up to youth with Mr. Cameron. Can I invite them down, Miss Annette and Miss Sophia? Please come on down. They're actually braver than me because I gave them the option, do you want to just celebrate in elementary class? And I was like, kind of like, you want to go and do that or do you want to be on stage? And they both said, we want to go on stage. And I said, oh, okay. So they're braver than me. So I'd like to just say that both of these young ladies are amazing. And I know that they have great things in store for you in youth. And I know they're just itching and scratching, just ready to get on out and get into Mr. Cameron and Miss Samantha's class. So first, let's start with Miss Sophia. Miss Sophia, I'm going to miss you so much. She is the brightest. Anytime I ask a question in class, she's the first person that has her hand up. Always has answers. She knows all the books of the Bible in order. And she's just a... She's awesome and a major blessing for us, and I'm going to greatly miss you, Miss Sophia. And Miss Annette, this was for you. You're also amazing and very knowledgeable and smart, and she also is the second person up. If Sophia's not there and she doesn't have her hand up, Miss Annette is the second one. She's going and teaching our class, and I'm really going to miss you too so much. Miss Annette, I'd love to give you this award. There's... And then we can go ahead and pray over them both if we can. Let's go ahead and close our eyes. We just want to give you both, Sophia and Annette, and guide them as they go forward into youth and as they both need your guidance as they continue to grow and move on forward and also being a blessing for their school and their classmates. We just thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you have for them and everything that you have in store for them. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Woo. All right. I'm going to go hide again.
Oh, amen. Amen. It's a big deal. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. Especially fifth graders going into sixth grade because they... are always the whole time that they're in fifth grade, they're chomping at the bit of saying, oh, I don't want to be in, I want to go there. But no, we need them in our children's village so they can be the ones that can be the leaders for everybody else that's there. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know Cameron did a fantastic job last week, so it was a blessing. And I'm just looking forward to encouraging you this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We've kind of taken the summer to, actually junior high, you guys can bolt, take off out of here. Hallelujah, go ahead. And we've taken the summer to talk about the subject of faith, but talking about our faith and truly realizing who we are. And the reason that it's so vitally important is because, you know, if you weren't raised in church, if you don't know all of the church vocabulary and stuff, then sometimes you can go, you know, what's going on? Who are those people? You know, when I was in high school, they had a church club. And even though I was saved in high school and because I got saved as a child, I did not want to be a part of the Christian club. Sorry. I was a jock. I played football, basketball, and baseball. And so I was, you know, with everybody else standing in the halls intimidating everybody else. And that's what we were doing. And we were the cool kids. And we were all the things that were going on. And it's not that I didn't love Jesus. I loved Jesus very much. I just didn't want to act like them. I know that messes all your whole thought processes of me, but I just didn't understand what was going on or what was happening, and that we couldn't function in life, but also be bold in our faith. We didn't have to be separated and act like we didn't really want to be around anybody. Now, thank God that's changed over the years here. Praise the Lord. That was the 70s, because you were either in one group or another in different things, especially in my high school. And but the reason being is because we didn't know who we really were. Amen. You know, because I loved God. I was loving God with all of my heart. I was reading and doing things and reading my Bible. But when I would talk to them, it was like they were defeated. And I said, I can't be defeated. I just can't be depressed. That's not in my makeup. He said, well, why were they defeated and depressed? Because it felt like that was their identity, was to try to do this there, and they just didn't have the joy that I thought they should have. In fact, everybody, when I go to church, I didn't think the people in church had the joy I thought they should have. You know? I didn't understand, you know, because I would come and, you know, the pastor would say something. I've got my Bible and I would read it and say, man, if what he's saying is true, then how come everybody's just looking at him? Amen. Well, it didn't take long, you know, to go to church and everything and to get the, you know, get the attitude of like, I heard that before. You know, I heard that before. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know that. And I think to myself, well, if you know it, why isn't it affecting you? You know, if you found out some good news, how come it hasn't changed your face? How come, if you find out good news, how come it hasn't changed the way you're acting? Amen? You know, that's why I always got sent to the pastor's office, because I was always asking my teachers, always asking different questions about, well, what about this? Well, you know, yeah, but we don't quite believe it that way. I said, well, believe it what way? It's what it says. Let's believe what God says. Amen? So I want to get you to begin to see yourself. But actually what I want to see is I want you to find out who the real you is. Will the real you actually stand up of what the Word of God says about you? And the reason for that is because, you know, when you find out what the Word of God says about you, it'll change your life. It won't matter what's going on in the world. It won't matter what's going on around you. It will change your life, because you'll know you'll be able to change the circumstances. You'll be able to speak to your mountain and see it move. Amen. You'll be able, hallelujah, to know how to draw up joy. You won't allow offense to defeat you. You won't allow what others say or what others do to derail you from your what God has called you to do. Amen? You'll begin, because you begin to take the Word of God at what He said. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's an amazing chapter. I just love this chapter. I just wish Paul would have kept going. Paul always stops and he says, oh, I'm giving you too much, so now I got to talk to you like carnal, got to do this. And he never really picks this back up. But man, this particular chapter is so amazing in the 16 verses. But I just want to read verses 9 and 10 to you. All right, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation because I just like the way it says it. But it says the same thing in the King James, but this one just kind of gives it a little better English. It says, that is what the scripture mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Aren't you glad God's not hiding anything from us? But the phrase that really, really stood out to me was the phrase in verse 9 that says, listen, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has prepared a whole bunch of stuff for us, hallelujah, for us that love Him. And then in verse 10, it says, He shows it unto us by His Spirit. Amen? I mean, praise God. Thank God for the grace of God. Do you know, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, God said with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, said, hey, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness. So if we were made in the image and the likeness of God, wow. But we don't believe that. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, God's desire is to take us beyond us. God's desire is to take us beyond the usual. or the status quo. Okay, well, that happened, but now we got to move on to the next big thing that happens. Instead of keeping the life, the power, the presence of God excited on the inside of you. Now, I'm so glad that I'm only 5.5 months old. So I'm all renewed, okay? Because 5.5 months ago, I died and was dead for 7 days with life support on me. And you guys, we prayed and everybody prayed. Everybody brought me back to life. You know, and I got to share my testimony with individuals, I mean, you know, every day, 3 times a day for 5 days straight, okay? So because, you know, it's just a unique thing because nobody really knows when you're seeing a walking miracle and say, well, what really happened? And then when you tell them all that happened, then their eyes get even bigger because they're like, well, that's impossible. I said, I know. It's awesome. Well, that's impossible. I know. That's awesome. Well, you should have been dead because of this and because of this and because of this. I said, I know. Should have been dead 5 times. You know, the dude that happened to him, he should not have made it. But I'm standing here in front of you, okay, because of the grace and the mercy of God, all right? And yet, you know, I stand here with a freshness and a renewness in my life because of the grace of God. So every moment, every second for me is different. You know, the Bible says in Daniel, it says, the people that do know their God will be strong and do great exploits, which means they have great expectations. I think many times, like I said, we can go through the motions and we can go through, so this is what we do. We just have status quo. But that we can't go through the motions. Now's not a time to go. We can't. We live in a crazy world that's volatile. We live in things are changing. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God now more than we ever do. Yes. See, because God's plan for us, hallelujah, is to do His plan. Yes. Now, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms 139. I'm going to read Psalms 139, 16 through verse 18, but I'm going to read it out of the New Living, too, because it also shares some things out of it, but it's really cool verses. And because, you know, here's the problem. God has this plan for us. God said that He saw you and He formed you before the foundations of the earth. He's got His plan for your life. The problem is His plan and your execution of that plan is different because you're trying to execute your plan. Amen. We're all trying to execute our plans and our purposes instead of getting God's plans and God's purposes because we're afraid that God doesn't know what He's talking about. God has no idea what He's doing. Amen. We think that the Word of God is just, you know, it's written, but we can believe this part, don't have to believe that part. It's funny because, you know, this is God's manual for our life. And it's like He's putting us together and He's molding us together and He's assembling us together. But the problem is that we don't want to use all the parts. We're going to get together and say, hey, I'm together. And we're going to look around. There's going to be all kinds of things around us. Well, I don't need those. Amen. And one of the biggest way you understand that is when you find out a revelation or you find out a truth in the Word of God that just thrills your heart, and then somebody says, that's just not for you. Oh, no, let me tell you why that. And they want to steal away your joy. Because, see, they're not using that part. They haven't found that part. They didn't put that part in. Amen. Don't get mad at them. Just say, glory to God, I'm so glad I'm using that part. But listen to this. Listen to what He says here. Verse 16, He said, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me. Oh God, they cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. See, your story, your personal story is in a book. God wrote a whole book about your life already. He wrote about everything that He wants to accomplish in you and through you and for you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? You're like, wow, glory to God. God's done this. He's doing this. And here's the amazing thing about it. He wrote it before you were born. Amen. Isn't that amazing that God wrote a book of, you know, your autobiography was written by God. That's pretty impressive. Who's the author? God. But the problem is that we haven't taken hold of the Word of God and began to look for what God wants to do in our lives and to be led by what he wants to do. Because when we understand God put his very nature on the inside of us, and we're supposed to reflect that nature. And one thing that I found out is that the one thing that the enemy, the devil, does not want the body of Christ to know, he really doesn't want you to know who you are. He really doesn't want you to know, you know, what God has made you to be. Amen? Because, you know, God's desire for us, he wants us to live in the supernatural. He wants us to live in the extraordinary. He wants us to live with joy and peace when nobody else is having joy and peace. Amen? So I said, well, how do I know that? How can I find out who I am? Well, it's, you got to find out who you are in Christ. You got to find out who you are in the Lord. Amen? You know? I mean, here's the problem. Most people are not aware of the great goals and plans that God has for their life. Amen? I mean, we look at this and we see our lives and we go, wow, look what I've accomplished. Amen? But the wonderful thing about it is that when you're in God, you always know that there's more. I mean, many times we try to have brownie points. Amen? I mean, before God called me to come to California, I was pastoring a church. Everything was going really, really well. Things were working. Things were happening. And God came into my office and he said, I don't care what you've done. And of course, this is the way he talks to me. He has to be nicer to all of you because you get your feelings hurt. For me, he has to hit me in the head with a 2x4 so he gets my attention, okay? He said, I don't care what you've done for the last 15 years of ministry. Will you be obedient now? I said, well, Lord, I always do. What do you want me to do here? He said, I don't want you to do anything here. Will you be obedient now? And that's when God dealt with our heart to come here and start this church. And so the thing about it is that honoring God and just saying, well, Lord, I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And, you know, and in the last 5 months of finding myself and getting back strong and getting back, you know, in position and getting just, okay, Lord, all right, you didn't raise me up for status quo. You didn't do all the miraculous things that you did, you know, and heal me 6, 7, 8 times during all of this. And, you know, for me to just get back up and go, hi, how you doing? It's a good day, huh? No, God raised me up to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And in my heart, God began to share. He said, who cares that you've been in ministry for 47 years? I've been in ministry 47 years, full-time ministry for 47 years, preaching the gospel, loving people, and I love what I do. Amen. And I'm not tired. I mean, praise God, I hadn't had blood going to the rest of my body for so long. Now I got blood going everywhere. Praise the Lord. I got more energy now than I ever had. You know, they put that stent in there. Now it's actually open instead of half closed or half dead or whatever it was doing. Amen. So, but no, God began to share. He said, you know, there's some plans. I said, Lord, what is it? I mean, we're getting down there. What are we going to do? He still has plans and purposes for all of us, for all of us. But we've got to be aware of God's goals, God's plans. Some said, well, what are they? You got to ask. You got to ask. Hallelujah. You know, Ephesians 2:10 says this in the Amplified. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, he planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. I mean, that we go through things that we shouldn't even go through because we're doing our own thing instead of doing his thing. Amen? He said, he's taking paths which he's prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Notice that he said that we should walk in them. He didn't say we would walk in them. He said we should walk in them. How many know there's a big difference between should and would? Amen? He told us all of these things that we can do. Amen? But if we look at that word should, it seemingly means it's there for us, but we've got to be the ones that walk in it. Amen? We've got to prepare our hearts. Amen. Amen. We've got to say, okay, hey, hallelujah. God's got some great things in store. And guess what? He's not through. And he won't be through until he takes me home. Amen. Amen. I mean, the Spirit of God through Paul, he didn't say what we would do this. He said we should. Well, somebody says, well, if we should, then why aren't we? It's because of us. Because we're not agreeing and cooperating with the Word of God. I mean, have you ever been at a point in your life where, man, I just feel so weak, I feel so defeated, you know, and all of a sudden the scripture comes up, but you're more than a conqueror. But I don't feel like no conqueror. And especially don't feel like more than a conqueror. Amen? I don't feel like that. Well, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter. It's siding in with the Word of God. It's siding in with what God said about you, you know, and it's up to us to discover these plans and purposes of God through prayer, through fellowship, through the Word of God, through all the things that God's given unto us. And thank God, by the grace of God, we can fulfill them. Isn't it wonderful? God never asks us to do anything He doesn't give us the power to do. That's what's amazing. He placed His Spirit within. I'm just so thrilled. I got born again, and then God said, okay, you got born again. Your spirit got born again now, but the Holy Spirit's going to still be in you because He needs to be your teacher, because you're not going to know how to walk. You're not going to know who you are. Amen? And that was the thing about it, is I wanted the Word of God to become life. But here's the thing, you know, I told you I didn't want to be a part of that club in high school. But when I graduated high school, I traveled around the United States trying to find myself, ended up in Grove, Oklahoma, and there was a whole bunch of, you know, high school graduates and college kids there that, man, they were on fire for God. They loved God. And I said, I want to be a part of this group. I mean, they were more radical than anybody I'd ever seen. And I grew up during the Jesus movement, so there were some radical people. They were crazy, okay? You'd come to church and you see three of them sleeping outside of the door. Just, well, God sent us here to try to stir you guys up. Yeah, that's here in California, guys, okay? I grew up in California, all right? Not some Bible Belt. I grew up in California, you know, and people were coming and doing it. You know, that was something you saw. But when I got there, and I thought, man, these are hungry. And they had the Word of God. But they knew who they were. Yes. They knew they were a child of God, and God had some special things in store for them. Amen? Hallelujah. They took hold of the Word of God, and it changed them. Amen? I mean, I'm tired of kids going off to college and then turning into atheists. It's crazy. You know, because they want to get in your head. They want to get in your head and tell you, well, let's look at everything from the natural. Instead of grabbing hold of, wait a minute, I've got something on the inside of me that changes my life. And the Word of God becomes life-giving. It becomes life-giving to me. Amen? You know, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says this, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living. He says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we have first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please God. Woo. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all of His glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and all the patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people, who live in the light, for He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Amen. And here's the thing, too. I grew up in a church that your thought processes, you know, and it's been so long ago, but really the thought process was God was this mean God. Amen. I mean, you had a bunch of do's and don'ts. They didn't tell you what what you could do, but it was all about don't do this, don't do this. And it was just very, very, it preached hell hot. And I'm really glad about that because I really got saved in that church. Amen. I mean, I really did because I rededicated my life every Sunday. You know, and, you know, they just preach, you know, but the thing about this is that there was no joy. There was no peace. There was no strength. You know, and I thought, man, what's going on here? What in the heck is going on? You know, and I thought, God can't be that mean. Amen. Yeah. I mean, but you know, when you look at it, say, no, God's for us. He's not against us, you know? So as a little kid, I started reading my Bible, and as a teenager, I read my Bible, and, You know, that's dangerous when you read your Bible. And I read the old King James Version, you know, and but God began to enlighten me on some things, and I began to say, hey, you know what? I think there's a whole lot more in there than what we're all looking at. Amen? Amen? Yeah. See, God said in Jeremiah 29:11, we all know that, but in the Amplified it says, for I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for your welfare and your peace, not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. God's not through with none of us in here. I don't care. You know, today is Miss Dolores Creer's 93rd birthday. And she's in church. And she's so precious and so valuable and such a blessing. She's been a blessing to me for many, many years. And I just thank God for her. She's just so precious, you know. But God's desire is for us to continue to seek his plan. His why is it so important? Because when you know you're in the perfect will of God, you can be in the middle of the Middle East and have peace and say, I'm protected. Amen? You could be in the middle because you know you're in the will of God. You know you're in the plan of God. And you have peace. That's how you know. Someone says, well, how do I know? You have peace. And if you don't have peace, Jesus said, I've given you my... You get a hold of his peace and he'll lead you. He'll guide you. Hallelujah. Because God has goals for our life and he wants us to find them. He wants us to accomplish them. But he wants us to know who we are in it. Who we are in Christ. What we have, you know. And, you know, it's like this. Many Christians are like this. They're born into the kingdom of God, but then they get kidnapped. It's like a king's son. He's born, but then somebody kidnaps him, and they raise him in a village as a pauper. And they raise him that he has to work, has to do, and that's all he knows. He doesn't even know he's a king. But he's just making things do. And then 20 years later, the king finds his son, and they restore him. And they bring him into the palace. The problem is that he doesn't know how to act like a prince. So he's down there with the servants washing. He's down there trying to fix his own breakfast. He's down there trying. He's making his own bed. He's trying to do his own thing because he doesn't know who he is. And see, with the kingdom of God, as we get born again, and we're like, this is so thrilling, but that's all we do instead of saying, hey, guess what? Now we get to learn what it's like to be a king and a priest in the house of God. Because God said in Revelations, it says that he's made us kings and priests unto our God. That doesn't mean we're ordering everybody else around and we're trying to do it. It just simply means we have to have the mindset that God is for me, that my Father is the ruler of the whole world, that my Father, he's my God. He's created, he's done this, and we don't know our identity in Christ. And so then our faith wavers. You know, Paul's whole job and mission in life was to strengthen the faith of all the believers. I never understood that. He always went back. He'd go in, he established his church, he would minister to them, then he would go, but then he'd always come back to their, because he wanted to strengthen their faith. He wanted them to be established in the faith. He wants you and I to be established in the faith. Amen? He wants you and I to stand strong so that we're not, oh, well, I don't know about this, I heard that. But what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God decree and declare to us? You know, what you know, hey, and, you know, I mean, Ephesians 5:17 says this. Says, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is so exciting. I like what one translation says of this, and it says, don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. See, I understand those things. People get really hurt with, you know, it's like, hey, God has goals, but it's up to us to find them and to accomplish them and to receive them. Amen? It's God's desire. It's God's desire for us to be established in the faith, be strong in it. It's amazing how many people get moved away. They get moved away. You know, go to Colossians, if you would, with me. Colossians 1:23, if you would. See, if we're solid in our faith, we won't be moved away. You say, well, why is it important not to be moved away? Because if what you believe doesn't govern what you think, what you say, and what you do, what good is it?
That's right.
Amen. Either God's God or he's not God. He's a God of miracles. He's a God that we believe answers prayer. He does. And we honor him, and we're going to stand strong with him. We're going to see the power of God. Amen. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, it says this. He says, if, I did a whole series on ifs in the Bible, and it was like 8 weeks long, okay? And ifs, I'm about to get ready to go back to series so we can get you guys rooted and grounded in the things of God. But it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away, or be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Amen? He said, we've got to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of his promises.
Amen.
Amen? All of his promises. Glory to God. You know, I mean, God's desire. Hallelujah. And I want you to jump down from verse 23. I want you to go down verse 27, okay? And he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Realizing that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of us. Hallelujah. The hope of glory. Amen? Being established, being solid. Hallelujah. Was supplying. And that's one of my goals, is to supply what your faith is lacking. Because I want you to finish. Amen? I mean, I want you to finish strong.
Yes.
I mean, I do. I want you to finish. Glory to God. I just want to make sure, you know, in 1 Thessalonians, it says this, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Because our faith can get waned. Amen? Remember what Jesus told about Peter? He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed that your faith fail not. And he said, when you are come back, strengthen the brethren. Because it's funny, because Jesus didn't say if you come back. He said when you come back. Amen? Amen? I mean, God has to show us to realize who we are and what we have. Why is that so important? Because if you don't know what belongs to you, then you won't know how to act. Amen? You're just going to go through, and you're going to let the devil beat you up. You're going to let the devil push you back and forth. He's going to defeat you every time, because he's going to keep you in the realm of the flesh. He's going to keep you in the realm of reason.
Yes.
Well, come on, just reason this out. But if you'll keep him in the arena of faith, you'll defeat him every single time. And the only arena of faith is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
He says, well, I'm trying. That's one of the biggest things that we have, is not to try, but you need to receive to receive. What do I mean by that? Receive what God said about you. You know, I mean, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He's called you out of darkness. We don't have to let, darkness doesn't have to have anything that holds on us. They have nothing that compares to the kingdom of light. They have nothing that compares to what God does. And there is nothing out there, hallelujah, that the enemy is dangling that compares to the love and the presence of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, hallelujah, and God showing you things to come.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. He's directing your steps. Many times we say, well, that means we're not going to do anything. How am I supposed to go to work? You're supposed to go to work supernaturally. You're supposed to go to work knowing that, hey, I'm going to work to do the job that I get paid for. But glory to God, I'm going to work expecting the Holy Spirit to show me things about my fellow workers. Show me things so I can speak life. I can pray. I can bring light into here. I'm going to be a blessing so that this company can prosper and be blessed because they hired me. Says, well, you really think you're something? No. I know who I am in the Lord, and God has my steps on. So every day's an adventure. Every day's an adventure. It's like Huck Finn, man. I'm going to go down to the river. I'm going to see. Every day is an adventure. What am I going to find? Who am I going to find? Amen? And then you're not depressed. Then you're not defeated. So I said, well, how do you stay up? The Word of God. The Word of God. God said He ordered my steps. That means everywhere I go, God has a plan. God has a purpose. He's ordered my steps, so I've got to, He's got to change my perception of myself. Amen? So said, well, you don't understand. I do know that. Many people have the wonderful Gideon, you know, syndrome. When God said, mighty man of valor, He said, who? He said, not me. I'm from the lowest tribe of Benjamin, and my family is the lowest family in the tribe of Benjamin. I'm the lowest of the low. No way. Who are you talking about? And then he says, how come you're not doing what you did way back when? How come you're not, you know, our ancestors said, yeah, how come we're having to hide? He's hiding because he's trying to press things out in a way and so that he can have, you know, food to eat. He's hiding. God doesn't, he said, here's a coward. Here's a guy that doesn't think, he thinks he's the lowest of the lowest of the lowest. He's like, no. And God says, hey, mighty man of valor. Yeah. God says the same thing about you, and you give him the same answer. God, who are you talking about? God said, hey, I've chosen you. Are you born again? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? You know, not just your Savior, but He's the Lord of your life because it changes everything. Amen? And what happens is that, okay, well, then guess what? You're a child of God. Amen. You are a joint heir with Jesus. Yes, you are. What does all that mean? You know, one of the things about, like I told you, I was raised in a church. They told me about all the don't. I was like, okay, this is no fun. Who wants to be a Christian? Because it ain't no fun. So I went into the Word of God, and I began to find out all the things God said I could do. All of the promises of God. All what God said I am. Who I am. What I can have. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you know God said I can have the desires of my heart if I delight myself in Him? It's a big word, if. But if I delight myself in Him, He is going to order my step. He's going to make life blessed. Doesn't mean there's going to be difficulty, but it simply means me and God together, we can do this. And what I want you to do, I want you to start believing the truth about yourself. If you're born again, if you truly love Jesus Christ, notice He said, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. The things God has prepared. And He wrote your autobiography. It's in a book. That book is still here. Hallelujah. Thank God that book, He's got a book, and He's been trying to get you to do that book. You've just jumped out of the pages a lot, but He's trying to get you to get back in because He's got a plan. Amen? And guess what? He's got a plan until He receives you. And then even after that, I think He's got some more things to do with us. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, and just like we've said over here, that we're joint heirs with Christ. His Bible says that Spirit that we've been given is the Spirit of God, and it tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ, equal heirs with Him. Amen? And that we can hear, we can listen. Hallelujah. But you know, one of the reasons why we don't change the way we think and the change the way we act is because we don't understand grace. Because we think we have to change. Pastor, I'm trying. People say, I'm trying. I said, the problem is that you're trying to do it in the flesh. You're trying to. You got to realize, it's by grace that you're saved through faith. All right? So if you receive the grace of God, which is, we know it's always commonly says it's God's unmerited favor, but it also is this, that saving grace is God's unmerited favor. Serving grace is the ability to do that which you can't do, but that God wants to do through you and God wants to do for you. because God gives us the grace to serve. God gives us the grace to live. Amen? And it's a gift. It's a gift. Hallelujah. So you get to enjoy the gift. Most people don't enjoy the gift. They're always trying to figure things out in their own head. Hallelujah. It's the gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this. For it is by free grace, I'm reading out of the Amplified. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Through your faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves, it's not of your own doing, it came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not a result of what anyone can possibly do. No one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. You got saved by grace. There was no way. All you had to do was receive what Jesus did. And every promise of God is received the exact same way. Amen. It's received the exact same way. You don't want to be like the Galatians. And if you've ever read the book of Galatians, you know Paul writing to the Galatians said, wait a minute, time out. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? I mean, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? What's going on with you? What's happening here? You started your new life really great, and now you're thinking that you can make it better by earning it? You can make it better by doing something else? Because we get tired of trusting. Amen. Instead of having continual faith in God and saying, Lord, I do trust you. I trust that you've got your hand upon my life. I do believe this. Thank you, Father, hallelujah, for your hand, your plan, and your purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, Paul also said this in Galatians 2. He said, listen, if you're trying to do everything in the flesh, trying to get better, then you've actually fallen away from grace. You're actually robbing yourself from the ability and the presence of God and the thing. And that's why we get frustrated. How many of you ever been frustrated by trying to do something on your own? Amen. Amen. I put up both hands on that one because I don't like to ask for help. And it's the challenge of that. But, you know, and the Lord, he's told me, he said, you've done that spiritually a lot. I said, I know, but I'm giving you good options, aren't I? So what is that for? It's for an understanding the truth of the word. God wants us to live with the power and the presence of God. And I believe that we're going to see and do that in this last days. I know I am bound to determine not to be the same. I'm not the same. I feel stronger now than I did even before the heart attack and all that kind of stuff. I can't convince everybody of that, but that's okay. I know I'm not supposed to do that. I know I think I can. My mind is real strong. I don't know if my body would cooperate, but I still believe that. But I'm still letting my wife be my conscience. Hallelujah. It's a hard thing, guys. It's whew. But anyways, it's good though. She's wonderful. She really is in that. It's a wonderful thing. And I do trust that. And I trust her because obviously, let me just share with you, it does. My mind, and that's the thing too. Can I just, you know, we were out at camp meeting and got to talk to a lot of the people and they were all talking to me about what had transpired in my life. And then they started to tell me, how many ever had somebody tell you about somebody that had the same thing you did and they died? Or had the same thing you did and they're a vegetable? Or had the same thing you did and they don't remember anybody? I got all three of those, you know? And you're like, okay, praise the Lord, you know? And what it did for me and for my wife is that it just makes you appreciate and thank God so much more for the miraculous thing and for the joy, peace, because of all, I mean, you know, and what is done, the people saying done. And it's like, well, you believe all that because it happened to you. No, I believe it because of what the Word of God says, and the Word of God came to pass in my life. And that's what changed everything. That's what changed everything. Hallelujah. Now that I've given you the introduction to my message, we gotta close here. And then we'll pick it up next week. All right. And we're going to talk about seven things that actually I wanted to get to. But that's okay. You guys were, we thank God for his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. And because it is his power. It is his grace. And guess what? God's not through with none of us yet. God still, our book is still being written because we're still here. And he's written, and we're still walking out what he has. Amen? Amen. He's still doing it. He's still going to do it, and he's still going to do it awesomely. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to stop right there. Let's pray. Father, we honor you. And Lord, we've just enabled ourselves to just stop. Father, you give us grace to receive. You give us grace to believe. You give us grace, Father, for your amazing, amazing love for all of us. Lord, my heart's desire is to make you real. To make you real in the lives of each and every person, to know that they can call upon you at any time. That they can look to you and ask, Lord, is this part of my story, or have I gotten outside of the book? Is this part of my story, or am I outside of the book? Because if this is not part of your plan, then I need to get back in your plan. And that's the key, is I want to get back on the pages. I want to get back where you're at. I want to make sure that I'm running the race that you've called me to run. I know there'll be obstacles. I know there'll be difficulties. No, but you've got a plan to see me through. I'm going to finish my course. And I'm going to run my race. And I'm going to finish my course with joy. As the Apostle Paul declared, he goes, I want to finish my course with joy. Hallelujah. And the ministry with God you've given me. Lord, I want to finish. And I want to finish strong. I do believe that you want us to live an extraordinary life. Father, and yet you do want us to find ourselves. And that's the only way we can find ourselves is in the Word of God, of who you said we are and what you have. So Lord, thank you for the hunger that we have for the Scriptures, the hunger we have for the Word of God. Lord, your amazing grace is so awesome and so wonderful. Hallelujah. Lord, we honor you. We love you for it. Father, and we thank you for your, just you. We thank you for it now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Go ahead.
Non si amava oro, hanno caso che te. No riamava l'ore cantò, oh riamala l'ore. Ma si onno coso, mi accortere canto la ha. O riamaletto se le
fette. Don't think that your story is over. And don't think that you've strayed from God's book too far to be brought back. Because as you know in the Word of God about the prodigal son, which is really about the loving father who was constantly looking and waiting for a son to get back in the book and get back in line of what was his and his all along and his rightful place. And don't think that you've messed up too much or that you've gone in a wrong direction too far. No. God's had a plan for your life, for all of your life. You may have taken some detours. You may have jumped out of the pages, but you can jump right back in. You can get back right on. And you can finish. And you can finish strong. And you can finish in peace and joy. But it's up to you to finish. It's up to you to decide that I want what God wants for my life and not what I want. Lord, your plan, your purpose. And it'll bring joy and peace that you never thought you could have. It'll bring a renewness. Yeah. It'll actually, you begin to look and see and feel about yourself and say, man, is this really me? Do I actually really feel this way? And you'll be amazed You'll be amazed at what God can do if you just let him. Father, we honor you today. We do. You admonish us again and again, but you're admonishing us so strongly this morning to allow your picture, your pages to be made real and open. Father, my heart is that you open up the eyes of their understanding. Hallelujah. Let them be enlightened. Let them be open that they can understand and know the hope of their calling, the hope of your calling on their lives. Father, that's my heart's cry. You are doing it. You're doing it because you have a plan. You have a purpose in their lives. Lord, thank you for that. And Father, we don't ever want to have a service without giving people the opportunity to be born again, to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This great life, this great Christianity is so thrilling, so wonderful. Hallelujah. It is when you just know that your sins have been forgiven and you've been cleaned, hallelujah, and cleansed, hallelujah, of unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and you don't know, or if you're here watching and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hallelujah, God loves you. He loves you with all his heart. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here and you need Jesus, or you need to make a declaration, you need to make a decision. You know, it's not about joining a church. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you, do you want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? Do you want to miss hell and make heaven? Do you want to make sure that this is real and reality? And it's a simple prayer. It's just believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, but it's you meaning it. It's you believing in it. It'll change you from darkness to light. It'll cause life to flow. You'll be changed. So if you want me to pray for you, I want to pray. So just raise your hand real high, and then I'll pray for you. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anybody else want to join those three? Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, today's the day of salvation. And I'm not trying to prolong this by any, I just feel impressed. Today is a day. You don't wait around and say, well, I'm trying to figure this thing out. I understand that. Don't try to figure it out. Just try to give your heart to God. Say, God, here I am. Will you take me even as lousy as I am? God will take you all. God died for each and every one. Amen. So one more time, just going to look. And maybe I'm feeling impressed to those that are watching because their hand is there. It is. God loves you. I love you. Praise God. I'm going to pray. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that raised their hand. Father, you declared in your word that if we would believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we would be saved. Because you said with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So it's not enough to just believe, but we've got to say something. We've got to say something. So I'm going to have each and all of the whole congregation, let's say this. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die just for me. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of all of my sins and cleansing me from all guilt and all shame. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you now for each and every one. And if people have prayed that for the first time, or they're just coming back to you and say, no, I need to have God again and again, that's okay. Lord, my heart's desire is they walk in the light and walk in the truth, that you send laborers completely around their beings as we send laborers into the harvest. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for showing us who we are and who we can be. Father, I honor you for that. I love you for it, and I thank you for it now. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. Hey, well, around here we have our prayer team that comes forward. If you prayed that prayer, if you just need to come forward and talk to somebody, they'll talk to you, they'll pray with you, and they have books. What? Oh, yeah, we have a nice book that says, what do you do after you've given? So, or not, after you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, what do I do next, you know, which we do. Yeah, you can give them to him. So anyways, I love you guys. Let's all stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. God loves you. I love you. Our prayer team, come forward. Hey, God bless you all. We'll get to see you Tuesday night, folks. Love you. 6:30. Tuesday night, 6:30.